Well, good morning, Harvest family.
Good morning.
Good morning. So good to see everybody here this morning. Just one announcement. I'll probably say something again later just to be sure. Somewhat of a patriotic theme for our service today. A little bit later in the service, Brother Darrell will be sitting on the front row. When you see him stand during this, when the ladies are up here singing special music, you'll see him stand. If you would stand with him, we'll have a place to the flag. And just so you'll recognize him standing. Brother Leonard, wave everybody in case everybody, there he is. And then here in the front row, I'll maybe now make that announcement again later in the service. And that'll be during the special music with the ladies' trio. They'll be singing. Yes, they'll be singing. But when you see him stand, you stand with him. We'll have the place of the flag. And if you want to, don't mind, remain standing through the song if you're able to. And then we'll go from there. But you'll understand what I'm talking about it during that time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we do love you so much. And thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. I thank you for the joy and service. Lord, just the privilege we have to serve you. I pray that you meet with us today, that you might be uplifted and glorified as we set aside some time today to honor and respect of the country that we here in America, Lord, we are so grateful. But most importantly, is looking to the scriptures and our responsibilities as believers and good citizens. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Ask your blessings on us today as we meet with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, on this earth, we are here with sorrow or with cheer. Let us keep God in our hearts most dear and worship him with reverent fear. To bring him glory, praise, and honor this and every day and every deed we do and every word we say. Let us not forget to honor our flag and let not its gallant folds ever sag. But let it fly so gloriously and free, symbolizing our great nation that came to be. America's founders had a dream to worship God in highest esteem. They left their countries, every one, and sailed across a vast ocean to take their stand in this great land and live their lives as they should be, for their neighbors first, then the world to see. Once a country tried to take away our liberties and it sent its soldiers here from overseas, but those early patriots were so courageous and brave, and with God's help, America from the British did save. They rang the Liberty Bell so loud and clear, not just for them, but for all the world to hear. America was now a nation ready to take her station, a nation righteous and just who in God did trust. America, this great land, is in God's almighty hand. And as long as she honors God above all, then surely America will never fall.
Turn to my own.
on in this aspect of worship this morning, of the giving our tithes and offerings. Thank you so much for your faithfulness given this morning. This throughout the time you're here at Harvest, God has been so good to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on our giving. Brother Dave Smith, would you please pray for the tithes and offering?
Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this special day that we honor you. We also honor our country because we're thankful for what you have given us. Father, every time the Supreme Court meets, when the marshal of the court announces the arrival of the justices, he makes an appeal to heaven and says, God save the United States.
Yes.
So, Father, that is our appeal today.
Yes.
And, Lord, may you continue to bless America in its 249th year of independence. Father, bless these services as well, Father. I pray that if there would be anybody here that does not know Jesus as Savior, that they would have freedom from sin by trusting in Christ. Bless this offering, Father. Bless each gift and each giver. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me as we go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings, of course, on our church and, of course, the message this morning, and ask the Lord to help me as well as I pray for our men and leadership of our church. Let's go before the throne of grace this morning. Father, we are so greatly humbled and thrilled by the aspect of celebrating another year of our country where, though liberty may not always be expressed in the way that we desire, we are so truly grateful for the liberties and freedom that we still have in our country. Father, help us to not take those for granted. Help us, Lord, throughout the year, not just an annual thing, but through the year to strive to pray for our country, to pray for the leadership of our country, to pray that things would change and pray that our country would turn back to God as a whole. Yes, there are many believers across our nation, many good, solid churches across our nation, but as a country and as a nation, we are not as one as we have been founded upon. And I pray that you would help us in that area. Father, I pray that you would start with me. Start with these men here at Harvest. I pray that you would put a hedge about us. And Father, help us, protect us from sin. Protect us from physical harm and distress as well as causing it. Guard our tongue. Guard our ears. guard our mind, that we may live a life that's pleasing unto thee. Help us to be the men that you would have us to be at home, in our communities, in our church. Help us to be the godly examples that our community and our families need and our church family need. Pray that you'd help us to strive, Lord, for that opportunities that you give us day by day in reaching others for the Christ by living out the life that we live. Father, help us to be good citizens here below, that we'd set a good, godly, biblical example of what a believer is. Father, I thank you for our ladies here at Harvest. I pray that you continue to bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them. Father, help them be, as they strive, to be that Proverbs 31 woman. Help them to strive to support their husband, to support and love and instruct and help with their family, Lord, that they would be more like you, as we as men would be more like you today than we were yesterday, and strive to be that a little more like you each and every day of our life. Thank you for those who labor in the nursery, who labor in our parking lot attendees, and help in the sound room, and help in children's church and teaching of Sunday school. We are so grateful for those who labor and give of themselves, those who are partaking the special music and things around the church property just because they love their church family and they love you. We pray your blessings upon them. And then, Father, I pray that you would help me this morning. I pray that you give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech as we preach your word a little later in the service. I pray that you'd help me to portray, Lord, what you have shared with me in private, Lord, that I'd be obedient unto thee. I pray that you would help me, Lord, to present the gospel, to present it very clearly and the challenge very clearly. And I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who's discouraged be encouraged. And maybe that Christian who's lagging behind will be challenged and provoked to jump in, to get involved, and to stop just treading water, but do all that they can, Lord, to serve and to live for you. Father, I need your help this morning. We as a church need your help day by day. And we pray that you meet with us this morning. We ask all these things in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34. Just one verse of scripture today. We'll share a little more later in the service. And I pray that you again pray for me this morning. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
There's a man who lives beside me who fought in World War II. He proudly waves all glory from high upon his roof. He starts out every morning like it's Independence Day. I've seen him at attention salute the flag and say, I love this land. From sea to shining sea, I love this land, home of the brave and free. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which it stands, one nation under God. I love this land. All across the country, big cities, little towns, why mama's getting ready, dad pulls the car around. They join the congregation to sing Amazing Grace. They're free to worship Jesus, and they are free to pray. I love this land. From sea to shining sea, I love this land, home of the brave and free. I love the liberty, the justice and the truth on which we stand, one nation under God. I love this land. God bless America. My children for freedom. Oh, I love this land from sea to shining sea. I love this land, home of the brave and free. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand, one nation under God. I love this land.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands.
I love this land. One nation under God. I love this land.
I do love this land. And because I do, I'm greatly burdened for it, for our country. A lot has changed. I'm still considered young by many, and a little older by others. I've seen changes, and I know there's changes coming. But I sure would like to see some things of old come back. I wish we saw things differently as a country, but we can't change that. In our text verse this morning, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And because of the reproach of our land is where we're at today. We don't... When's the last time we really saw a good, solid move of revival in our lives, in our churches, in our community? Through the years, things have changed and they've... Things are careful. I talked to a preacher recently, and you be patient. I got a lot on my heart and mind. Some is in my head, some is in my heart, and some is on my notes. But he made the comment that really shook me two and a half, three weeks ago. And he said, "Preacher, be careful. We live in a day and an era with social media, the Karens of the world. It doesn't take much for somebody to make a decision to try to slander you and your church for standing for truth and righteousness. But you can't allow that to fear you. You can't allow that to cause you to step back. You can't allow that to compromise you. So pray that God will give you wisdom, wise as serpents, but yet harmless as doves." And I'm afraid through our country that there are some things that we've changed because we want the new, the bright, the shiny. There are some things, and I've even heard some of my grandchildren say, "Well, that's old-fashioned." Well, if godliness is old-fashioned, I want it back. Amen. There's some other things I could list, and my grandchildren weren't referring to that, but I'm just saying that in general. There's some things I'd like to have back. Dear friends, if it meant having no more running water and lights in the church and a path down to the creek and to the bathroom to get righteousness, I'll take it. I'll take it. I don't know what it will take for our country to turn around. I have some great concerns, and I'll do my best. As you know, I'm a pretty emotional guy at times, and I've already wept through one handkerchief and working on another this morning. But let me see if I can get started on my message. After deciding not to run, George Washington's farewell address was printed in newspapers across the country. Looking into the future, Washington warned of threats the new nation would face. One of those was a departure from the principles of the Word of God on which freedom was claimed, fought for, and won. Today we see a great deal of truth concerning Washington's words. Please allow me to read them to you this morning. Again, George Washington, going back, keep these things in mind as we look at what our country is today. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism, who should labor to subvert these pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles. Dear friends, patriotism is often considered to be a service of our country. But yet in many ways, I think we have lost the aspect of our country of not just patriotism, but being founded on biblical truth. And our first president, George Washington, even warning us and going out, not having the telegraph, not having many aspects of television, social media, but newspapers that went out, warning people about the land and the direction that we could drift to if we are not careful. But patriotism, that service can be military. It could be first or some form of community service. Many may include politics in that list, but personally, I struggle with seeing the average modern-day politician as being a patriot. With the history and principles upon founding of our country, I believe being a solid Christian who follows the teaching of God's word is the best way to demonstrate patriotism and love for our country. Because after all, we've gone and drifted away from what we stood for. We've drifted away from things that we've wanted to establish and to build upon. She was not perfect out from the beginning, but she had many things right. And we've made adjustments through the years, but sadly, some of those adjustments has been without God. We have forgotten in God we trust. And as you can see, is much more than baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. But don't misunderstand me, I enjoy a good hot dog. If you go to a ball game with me, you might see me eat 6 within 9 innings. Patriotism is more than a weekend barbecue. We live in an era where many have forsaken God's truth. In other words, as a nation, we have turned away from God. We have turned back to the world in worldliness. Christian, we are called to walk with God and not away from God. And I can't help but to think, as I've given this illustration before, I just can't help but to think if God is working and He's moving here, and this is why God is working, this is where God is working, this is where God is, why is it that so many Christians and so many churches are on the other extreme in many aspects? See, walking with God is not only for our benefit, but for the good of our country and those around us. A people that are rooted in Scripture strengthens both our nation and other nations as well. As a father and grandfather, I am greatly concerned for a nation that will be inherited by the younger generation. And going back to that thought of a people that are rooted in Scripture strengthens both of our nation and others. I was named after my father, who was named after General Douglas MacArthur. And I've read much history, and I've been to some grave sites of others, and have read about talking about where many generals in other countries have mentioned after a war, during a conflict, hey, we need to send missionaries here. And yet we didn't rise to the occasion in many aspects. In many aspects we did, and others we did not. But the word of God is to continue to go forth, because we as a nation, when we are strong biblically, we have that same influence on others around us. Again, as a father and as a grandfather, I am greatly concerned for a nation that will be inherited by the younger generation. Let's look at other nations that turned away from God. Look at where our nation is today. Homosexuality, unbridled lust, confusion about gender, idolatry are all part of God's judgment on a nation that has turned away from Him. In the book of Psalms 33 and verse 12, that first phrase there says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Folks, I don't know about you. I think I would like a little more blessings of God. I'd like a little more blessings of our nation. And that means we need to turn back to God. We need to turn to Him as a nation, as a country, and not just a few Christians here and there, a few churches here and there, but as a country, we need to turn back to God. The most patriotic thing that we can do as Christians is to walk with God on a daily basis and not turn back. Our nation needs Christians to stand for the biblical truths and values of our nation that our nation was founded on and never again turn back. Tonight, this morning's proposition is I'd like to talk to you about three occasions of standing fast and not turning back. The length of my sermon this morning is mostly the intro that you've just heard and later with the closing. But number one this morning, never turn back when you've experienced success. So often we experience success, we have everything that we need. Why do anything else? Why not just retire from everything? Letter A, when God's goals are accomplished. Excuse me, the world's view of success. When you've experienced success, letter A, the world's view of success. See, the world's view is once you've achieved all your goals and they're accomplished, but let me ask, what kind of goals do you have? Yeah, when I have enough money in the bank, when I sold so many businesses, when I've done this, or I've read this goal, then I'm ready to go. But where is God in all of that? You see, that's the world's view. When goals are accomplished, when goals are material and material things. See, the world looks at possessions. And some years ago, I was a younger man, so some of you a little bit older than I might even remember this. And those my age and younger, maybe you've heard this, but the common thing used to be when if someone else got a two-car garage, you've changed yours one to two. If somebody else got a second car, you had to get one. It was called keeping up with the Smiths or keeping up with the Joneses. Boy, I wish we were more concerned about keeping up with God. Keep up with God and how He is guiding us. When you've experienced success, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't just coast along. That's the world's view. And letter A, the Christian's view of success. This is where we should be looking at as Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ. Our views of success should be making God's will my will. That is success for me. That is success for the Christian. Making God's will my goal. In other words, I want to walk with God each and every day. In fact, we want to do more just walking with God. We want to get others with us walking with God. I was sitting in the auditorium this morning. I can't remember what was being sung, but for some reason, the old game came to my mind. Do you remember playing Red Rover, Red Rover? I don't know why I thought that, but I think I'm going to work this in as an illustration. We would line up and we'd hold hands and we'd call out, Red Rover, Red Rover, send Tony right over. You know, he'd take off the running and he would run over this side and he would try to break through. And if he could break through, the way we played it down south and back east was, if he could break through, he got the hand of someone else and took it back to their team. But if he couldn't break through and we held the line, then he had to stay here with us and join us. And I'm afraid we're living in a time today that too many Christians are just letting go and giving in. That anything that comes over, anything that comes our way, anything that is called for, it's just breaking our grip on our fellow Christian, on our church, but most importantly, upon God. Are we holding tight? Are we standing forth? Are we doing all we can to lock in and hold on to the other believers and our church family in our life as we serve and live together as we serve the Lord? The Christian's view of success is making God's will your goal, but it's also making God's home your goal. In other words, doing all you can when you're not providentially hindered, the being around God's people and God's house, that you might grow, that you might be challenged, that you might be mentored, or that you might be the one that's encouraging and growing and mentoring, but building a solid church family as we grow together. But another Christian's view of success is not only God's will for your life and God's home, but making God's Son your goal. Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? Have you made it your goal? Is it your success and say, not only do I know God, not only do I have a walking relationship with the Lord, not only do I love the Lord Jesus, but I'm allowing the Spirit of God to reign in my life, through my life, to walk with me, to me to walk with Him, to make it my goal, and my concern is to live for God.
That should be our success. Not the world's view of material and just things and reaching rewards and platitudes of things of that nature, but walking with God. You see, dear friends, it's easier to press on when you've experienced success. It's easier to move forward when things are going well. It's easier to keep doing what you're doing instead of reinventing the wheel when things don't go your way. So what happens when you call somebody over and they break through and they take one of your players and carries them off? I guess you get a little gripper, a firmer grip. You ask yourself, where is the weakest link? Where's the one that we need to encourage and pull in and to embrace? Because I guarantee you, whether he call his name or not, the devil's going to come running each and every day at us in some capacity, in some way that he might disrupt, that he might discourage, that he might do something to persuade us to give up. But dear friends, never turn back. Number two, when you've experienced success, and number two, when you've experienced defeat. Oh man, it's so easy to throw in the towel when you lose. So easy to throw in the towel and give in when you've failed at something. Notice with me letter A, Paul's admonition in 2 Timothy as he writes to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. Dear Christian, press on. Paul admonishes young Timothy. There's no doubt in my mind that Paul thought, I'm sure often, he wished that he would have found the Lord and given his life to Christ much sooner as opposed to persecuting Christians. He only had a shorter term of his life after his conversion to serve the Lord, to live for God, to start churches, to go on his missionary journeys. He had some regrets, and he admonishes Timothy to press on. Don't give up. Even when you face defeat, even when things get hard, just get up and keep moving on. Dear friends, when you've experienced defeat, just keep pressing on. We see Paul's admonition to Timothy, but then letter B, Paul's attitude. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Dear friends, press on. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't give in. You have a ministry from the day that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior until the day you take your last breath or the trumpet sounds. We are to press on and continue serving the Lord. Yes, we may retire in a sense from a job. We may retire and be up there in years, but let me tell you something. It doesn't mean that we quit serving God. We still have a need. We need prayer warriors. Boy, I get encouraged and excited when I visit some loved ones, and especially here recently visiting some of our loved ones that are shut in and coming in and sit down, and the first thing that I hear saying, said, "Preacher, I'm so glad you're here. I pray for you every day." I can't do a whole lot. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to be involved in these things, but my health is to a point there's I can do without help. I've got this walker, I've got this wheelchair, whatever his ailment may be, but I can still pray. And dear friends, no matter where we are in our Christian walk, we can still pray. We can continue to serve until we can't serve anymore. But there's something that we can do, something that we can be involved with. We serve the Lord because our country needs believers living for God. Our nation needs Christians who will say, I will be a biblical patriot. I do love my country. I am burdened for my country. And many of you have served your country. And let's continue to serve in civilian clothes as we carry the gospel as Christian soldiers to others that need to hear. Yes, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't turn back when you've experienced success, when you've experienced defeat. And then number three, even when you're afraid to experience. Sometimes we just don't know if we want to get involved. We just don't know what's next. We're just not really sure about what to do. I won't take the time for sake of time this morning, but in Numbers chapter 13, if it's not there in your notes, you can read it later, but Israel was at a place called Kadesh Barnea. And this was a pivotal location for the Israelites' journey after leaving Egypt. Moses sent out, remember, 12 spies to explore the land of Canaan. And on their return, the majority report of the spies instilled fear and doubt in the Israelites, leading them to rebel against God's plan to enter the promised land. Even though the majority says we can't do it, and the minority said, we can do it. Yes, there's giants in the land. Yes, there's this massive fruit and milk flowing with honey and all these wonderful things, but that was only a small few that were excited about going into the land. You see, the majority would say, oh, we can't do it. Kind of sounds like believers today. Oh, how can we do that? Man, the government's against us. All these things are going on. Our world has changed. Hey, don't let yourself slide back into Cadiz, Barnea. It doesn't matter how our world is going. If God be for us, does it make any difference what the majority is doing? We need to continue on and not turn back and continue serving the Lord. You see, Cadiz Barnea became a symbol of the Israelites' failure to trust God and a reminder of the consequences of unbelief, a lack of faith. You see, God had promised them victory. The land he commanded them to go in and take was already theirs. They simply had to trust and obey. After all had God had done, after all the God had, now don't misunderstand me, we'll get to another good example in a moment, but it's kind of like us today. We're on a high, we get excited, God is good. We see a few souls saved, we see a few baptized, and we maybe go what we might call a dry spell or some difficulties. We see some things happen that we're not too excited about, and then before long we see another one saved, another one make a profession of faith, and like last week, another one baptized. And it won't be long, we get really excited, we're moving forward, God is at work, and then all of a sudden we forget. In other words, it's just a small memory that hasn't been imprinted in our hearts and minds, knowing that God wants to do more. I believe God wants to see our baptistry filled every single week. But do we have the faith for that? Are we striving for that? Are we looking to God to protect us? Dear friend, God will never lead us where His grace cannot provide for us or His power cannot protect us. Don't wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of a doubt or a fear. Yes, don't allow. Was it Job that said, that which I have greatly feared has come upon me? Dear friends, why should we fear if we're in God's will? Why should we fear if we know we're doing what God would have us to do? Why should we fear if we know that we're in the center of God's will for our life? When you're afraid to experience Israel at Cadiz Barnea, and then letter B, Israel at Jericho. Jericho was a great fortified Canaanite city. Nice big walls, thick walls, maybe not the greatest, biggest population. I read somewhere there might be around 2,500 people at that time living within the fort. But it was known to be undefeatable. You just can't do it. We don't have the weapons to do it. But here we see this time the children of Israel's approach was a little different. Before the Battle of Jericho, God gave specific instructions for the men of war to mark silence around the city once each day for 6 days. Now, keep in mind, this was a Cadiz Barnea that was not fortified. Obviously, they have learned some things, but we have a history of allowing history to repeat itself. We go up, we go down. We go up, we go down. Why can't we just stay up for the Lord all the time? Yes, we're humans. We're emotional. We have weaknesses. But let's not stay down too long when we're down and remind ourselves to press on. But here, those 6 days, as I mentioned, and remember, the priests were to walk with them, blowing ram's horns and carrying the Ark of the Covenant as a sign of God's presence among them. On the seventh day, they were to march around the city 7 times, and at the appropriate signal, the priests were to blow their trumpet and the people were to give a mighty shout. I don't know what that shout was, but it might have been, amen, glory to God, hallelujah. I don't know what it was, but they were to shout. And on the seventh day, even in fear, even though it didn't make sense, they did exactly as Joshua had commanded. And on the seventh day, the whole wall of Jericho crumbled and fell flat. The soldiers went in and took the city, destroying it completely, and only Rahab and her family were spared. Dear friends, when you're afraid to experience, We need to remember and remind ourselves, if God is leading, God is moving, why should I fear? If he has me by the hand, he is leading me and directing me, we need to move forward and not turn back. I don't know whether you have experienced defeat or whether you have been faced with a battle. I only know this. Don't turn back. When you are following God's leading, never, never, never turn back. If you've been in the mode of retreat, why not regroup and press on for the Lord? Can you imagine where our country might be today if somewhere along the way that we did not set aside the principles of what our country and what our nation was founded upon? Can you imagine what might be a little bit different today if God was still in high respected authority across our nation for all citizens? Can you imagine where it would be today if more followers of Jesus Christ were like the followers of yesteryear, just consistently moving forward and not turning back? Too many Christians are idle, are doing less than they are capable of doing. See, many Christians are bankrupt spiritually. When you've experienced success, dear friend, press on. When you've experienced defeat, get up and press on. When you're afraid to experience, trust God and press on. Before we close this morning, I want to share a few thoughts from my devotions this past week that led me to a portion of our sermon today, mostly the introduction and the closing. Since the founding of our country, disagreements and disputes have led many to families fights and even real combat and bloodshed. I know a little bit about American history, as we all have, as we read in history books about what took place in the Civil War. I spent time on the mission field and sat down with a large family. I think there were 6 or 8 boys and 6 or 8 girls, large family. And I sat down and talked with them, and most of them, including the father, had served in the military. And there in Moldova, where I met this family and talking to them, they lived on the Ukrainian border. And because they lived on the Ukrainian border, there was still some battling with Russia going back in Moldova. And what happened was some of their brethren was pulled and drafted into the Ukrainian army, and some were pulled and drafted into the Moldavian army. And they were basically at combat for one another. And when combat was going on, at times they had a relief and they were able to go home, and the trains were considered off limits for combat. So here are soldiers, brothers, neighbors, getting on a train to go home, seeing another one in a different army, in a different uniform. There were no fighting, but hey, they didn't want to anyway because they were brothers or they were neighbors. But that's what communist Russia had done to many aspects and parts of Eastern Europe. That's what took place in many aspects even within our country today. But we need to ask ourselves today, why fight among ourselves? Why have the disputes? Do we not have bigger battles? Do we not have bigger foes to fight against in our service for the Lord Jesus? Since the founding of our country, again, disagreements and disputes have led to family fights and even real combat and bloodshed. Paul instructs Christians to be careful not to bite and devour one another in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 15. Dear friends, dear family, we must be on guard for division, for pointless argumentation of greediness that divides us and distracts us from the main thing. You may know the facts and be a better debater, but winning an argument with someone isn't truly a victory, especially when it's not doctrinal or biblical. Satan seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "A thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Dear friends, refuse to give the devil a foothold in your personal life, your family, and in your church family. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20 says, "Neither give place to the devil." Disagree gently. I read this quote. I can't give credit to who it is because it didn't say. Disagree gently and only when you need to, remembering our real enemy is Satan. Let me say that again. Disagree gently and only when you need to, remembering our real enemy is Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Sadly to say, there's too many believers among ourselves that are walking about roaring and yelling, seeking who they may tear down, as opposed to building up and walking with the Lord. Yes, we've experienced defeat. We've experienced success in many areas of our life, but we must remember, even in all the things that we've experienced, success, defeat, and even overcoming fear that we might experience, let's keep God where He belongs, on His throne, in His rightful place as we serve Him. We should not be shocked when Satan does what he does, because what he does best. May God help us to press on. May God help our nation to press on. Dear friends, I've said this before, but it's a good place to throw it in as we prepare to close. I'm thrilled to have our granddaughters in this area. And every time that we're out and we hear the Air Force flying overhead, I just smile and I look at our, and I've taught our grandchildren. I said, "What is that sound?" They don't say a jet. They said, "Papa, that's the sound of freedom." When they see a flag waving, they don't say that's a flag. Hey, there's God Blesses America. Boy, to teach our younger generation and the younger ones and to have that love and discipline to love our country, to love those who stood and fought before us to defend the freedoms that are still serving now. But as Christians, we also are in an army. It's called the Lord's army. And we need to serve Him well. As mentioned in my introduction as I close, our nation needs Christians to stand for biblical truths and values our nation was founded upon and never, ever, ever turn back. Be a patriotic Christian and walk with God on a daily basis and don't turn back. You see, our nation needs to be both patriotic and biblical. So let's do all we can to be patriotic, but also to be biblical. And by the way, the biblical should be first. I'm a Christian first. I'm a patriot second. I love heaven because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Because somewhere up there, there's beyond the heavens where my home is with the Lord Jesus. But while I'm here, I'm going to do my best to be a good soldier for Jesus. I'm going to do my best to be a good patriot and deserving and loving my country, our flag, and what we stand for. I will do my best, but at the same time, I want to do it with a heart that has compassion for those who need to be set free and know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Yes, be a patriot, love your country, but let's make sure that we're putting Him first above all things, that our nation may come back to God. And as George Washington said in my introduction, and what he predicted and what he was concerned about has come to pass. And dear friends, I fear far worse. Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. And I don't know what the Lord may have done in your heart today. I don't know if there's someone here that maybe needs to come to the Lord in salvation. Whether a Christian needs to come and pray and just say, "Lord, thank you for the reminder. Help me to be the biblical Christian and patriot that you would have me to be." But if God has spoken your heart in any shape, form, or fashion today, why not make that decision? Where you stand or here at an altar, grab a friend, grab a mentor, grab someone, hey, come pray with me as we strive to hold each other up accountable and pray and ask God to help us to be the Christian leaders that our nation needs. And Lord, help me to never turn back. If God has spoken your heart anyway, why not come now as our pianist plays? Father, you know the needs this morning. I pray that you speak to the hearts of your people. There are those coming already this morning to pray and some that have made decisions that will share with us. But Lord, whatever the decision may be, would you speak to the hearts of your children this morning? Help us to strive to never turn back. Father, help us to never retire spiritually, though we may come to the point in our life where we can retire from the 40-hour work week. Lord, help us always remember to have time to continue to worship you, to serve you, and to share our faith with others. Father, work in the hearts of your people today. Move in our midst. And Father, help us to be the biblical nation that you desire us to be. help our country to get back to what she once was. And Father, help us as Christians to strive to do all we can to make a difference. Father, I pray that you start with me. Lord, I am patriotic. I love this land. I love my country. But Father, I love you more. And Father, help me to have the right balance as I have served my country in the past through wearing a uniform. Help me to serve her now as a Christian soldier and ministering to others in their needs. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, and some have come to pray and others may need to, but you do as God directs you. All right, if all hearts and minds are clear, we'll close the public invitation today. We'll be dismissed in prayer in just a moment. Thank you for being here. Let me encourage you again, just let's not forget who we are. It'd be good for you to go back and not only read some historical things about our country, but even the, if you haven't read it, The Trail of Blood and some other historical facts about our country and about our land. Well, anyway, as you know that I had a slip up last week and was reminded this morning. Walter came this past week and he followed the Lord in believers' baptism, but I forgot to present him as a member as he desires to unite with us in membership at Harvest Baptist Church. He covets your prayers as he goes through a discipleship and mentoring Brother Dave and with me. I pray that you would pray with him. So what is the church's privilege this morning? To receive him into membership. We get a motion to receive him in membership. Brother Leonard, Brother Second, Brother Tony, Brother Second. Second is that. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so if you did not get a chance to come by and greet him last week after his baptism, please do so today. Continue to pray for Walter. He has a burden for a friend. He has a burden for his brother and for his family to be saved. So pray for him. And also pray for his work situation. He's still praying and hoping to get different hours so he can be here more often than he's able to be here. But he does have some work scheduling to work out. So pray for him in that category. All right, let me grab my Bible. Michelle, if you want to get ready to join me, I'll make my way back. You pray as we get ready to close in prayer as well. Make sure you get by if you didn't get a chance to greet him. Brother Dave, why don't you go ahead and stand there as you're facing, dismiss us in prayer.